All right, it's another Monday night, and you are in the zone here on News Talk 96.1 and AM 1370 WGCL. Dave and Glass with you again on another Monday night, and we are, as always, taking your phone calls at 333-2665. Lots to talk about tonight, and in particular, all week long. The IU football spring game is Saturday, and given we're coming off a busy weekend, we'll talk a lot of that, about that game in particular, and what's going on in spring practice on Wednesday night, so tune in with us then. We have a new Masters champion, a first-time major winner, Jordan Spieth. Nearly laps the group, never falters down the stretch, leads all 4 days, and takes his first major on his way to what would certainly appear to be a long, successful career. This guy is a closer at 21, and there aren't a lot of those certainly on the PGA Tour over the years. We've got NBA basketball closing up. Two more games for pretty much the entire NBA, and the Pacers are currently in the ninth slot in the East, which is a problem because only eight teams make the playoffs, and they don't hold their own destiny either. They're tied with Brooklyn right now, but they've got to end up at least a game ahead of Brooklyn when it's all said and done to get into that eighth slot. So we'll talk a little bit about the Pacers and whether they can make it or not here in just a little while. But before we go any farther, we do have some news here in the last few days, and today in particular, on IU basketball. We mentioned last week the commitment of Thomas Bryant, center from out east, a 6'10 player who's been all over a couple different All-Star weekends here in the last couple days, including the Derby Classic down in Louisville over the weekend. And today's news, a little bit different, it is that Yogi Ferrell has set an announcement date for whether he will enter the NBA draft or not. He apparently, according to his mother, and if you believe his mother on Twitter, he has not made his decision yet, but will be announcing it on April 25th, which is a week from this coming Saturday, so almost 2 weeks. They're going to have a family gathering on the north side of Indianapolis and have some steak and lobster and potatoes and all those sorts of things, and announce whether he will be going to the NBA. And let's talk a little bit about NBA prospects here. You got a 5'10", 5'11 guard who, let's be fair, for his size is pretty darn strong, has shown a really nice shot from nearly all over the place, certainly from three-point land. He can get to the basket, could probably use a floater, has a very good handle, maybe not the best defensive guard in the world, but I wouldn't say he's awful. But let's look at his pro prospects. I mean, 5'11", 5'10 point guards, there aren't tons of them in the NBA, but it's not absolutely unheard of to at least have a role.
And maybe you can have a role with that steak, baked potato.
There you go.
Salad.
A little sour cream.
Jeez, these kids these days. And look, I'm not picking on Yogi. It's happened in more than one place. But to make a decision about having a decision, that's a decision.
At least he made a decision.
It started with the kids and the hats and all of that stuff. But is this where we're going? And you have two things to do. You can accept it, or you can question it, or you cannot care. So wherever you may fall on the spectrum of things, here, I'll play devil's advocate. Why not? I'm pretty good at it. Hey, it's a little 5 Saturday. Hey, it's in Indianapolis. Jeez. If I had a crayon, I could probably connect a few dots on that.
We shouldn't be a little 5 this weekend trying to get anywhere, should he? He's gotten in trouble.
Well, little 5 is next weekend, the 25th, when he makes his announcement, and it's the day before you have to declare, because that's what the NBA says you have to do. So,
you better know by then.
Well, if I was declaring I was coming back, I might do it at the middle of Armstrong Stadium during the bike race to get things fired up, or I might do it at a Bloomington establishment if I'm staying around. I'm not silly to draw these conclusions, am I?
Well, I mean, you draw any you want.
They're not completely erroneous, or they're not completely without merit.
Again, I tried to draw one. He got in trouble trying to get in somewhere here locally over Little Five last year, so maybe it's best he's not in Bloomington that weekend.
That's completely fine. Or he shows maturity by being able to stay here and handle it like most adults would, and I think he's 21 now, and he can go out and do those things. But the point about his pro prospects are, it doesn't even matter what his pro prospects are. This is what fans don't like to hear. It's what he wants to do. It's not what's best for next year's ranking. It's not best for what next year's team is about. It's best for Kevin Yogi Ferrell. Kevin Yogi Ferrell has been under a very hot and intense spotlight and or microscope since about 10 or 11 years old when Clark somebody named him the best fifth grader in America.
Not Clark Howard, the overnight guy.
No, it could have been him, but Clark Judge, Clark somebody did. And it's a national publication, and his name has been known, and he's been in that focus at Park Tudor. He was in that focus even younger than that, and he's been in his focus, obviously, all 3 years here at Indiana. At some point, one could argue, just like you could argue, why is he having it in Indianapolis? Why is he doing it the last day before the NBA requires you to? Why is he doing it on Little Five? You can make all these wonderful points because no one's telling you why it's happening. You can always guess. But the point is, he might be done with it. And I've heard that from more than one or two people.
Yeah.
Where enough's enough. And it has nothing to do with the coach. It has nothing to do with the program. It has nothing to do with Cook Hall, Assembly Hall, the fans. Enough's enough sometimes. You only have running backs only have so many carries in the National Football League, right?
Yeah.
You only can get hit so many times and get back up, and your body gives out, or you lose interest, or you don't want to go to school, or you don't like. Again, these bullet points could be endless. So it has no bearing because you can play pro basketball in Israel. You can play pro basketball in Japan. Mm-hmm. You can play pro basketball in China. You can play pro basketball in Germany, and they all pay.
Yeah.
And they all pay pretty well. So if you're tired of it, done with it, finished with it, there's nothing that makes him stay. As we know, most of these kids all graduate in 3 years anyhow. So if that's not an issue, maybe he's done with it.
Well,
it's going to be a very interesting decision when he comes out and says that.
It's a legit suggestion. 333-2665 is a phone number.
It's an angle. It's not right. It's not wrong. It's an angle. But I've heard it from more than one person.
When I think of Yogi Ferrell, and certainly if I look at the last, decade and a half of IU basketball, I can't think of too many more hyped and scrutinized players coming into Indiana, and particularly once they were at Indiana. I would say Cody Zeller was the most hyped that I can remember in that time frame coming
Indiana. Yeah, if you want to go back further, Damon Bailey falls right into that.
Well, and we're talking
well.
20 years ago,
sure.
and there's the legend there too. But I mean, of the more recent times, and then since he's been on campus because of the way the program has gone and the lack of success last year, and the I don't know if you call it success or not this past year, but they got to the NCAA tournament at the very least. He has been extremely scrutinized and picked over in a lot of different ways. And we as IU basketball fans, I think, like to do that. There's no question about that. But I can't think of anybody who's had more on his plate the last couple years as far as picked apart and shredded for what he doesn't do, despite the fact that he might still have been the best player on the team. Bracy Wright might be the only other one who got just absolutely shredded the way Yogi's been shredded in certain cases.
He wasn't an Indiana kid, and they didn't like the coach that did that either, but that was the issue there.
But Yogi had the benefit of being an Indiana kid that we all liked coming in.
But you have to remember another thing as well, and you hit on it. Quote, unquote, he's been the team's best player the last couple of years. Yes, that's arguable. That's absolutely true. He has seen James Blackman come in and take shots. He has seen Robert Johnson come in and take shots. He has read, just like the rest of us, the hype surrounding Troy Williams.
Yeah.
And now you bring in a five-star All-American.
Yep.
Is Yogi Ferrell leaving at the apex of his college career? Well, if he does leave, I will argue he is. If he stays for one more year, we'll reevaluate after 4 years. And what do they always tell you? You go when you're hot. You go at your hottest point because you think he's been picked apart now. He's going to be picked apart even worse because there is no maybe I'll come back, maybe I'll stay. He will be having no option left besides to graduate and exhaust his 4 years next year. And the scouts can't say, well, if he has one more year to work on this, one more year to work on that, it's final.
Yep.
And a guy sometimes goes when he says, hey, if Bryant gets hot next year and Blackman starts making things, maybe I don't get as much of the ball. My numbers go down, and then my stock goes down. Dave, it's not about the team anymore, and
that's what fans
need to worry about.
I understand that. We'll talk about what all could be accomplished next year if he stays and what all could be accomplished if he goes. There's certainly legitimate arguments both directions, and we'll continue that when we get back from the break. 333-2665 is our phone number. Dave and Glass with you in the zone. You're back in the zone with Dave and Glass on News Talk 96.1 and AM 1370 WGCL. Quick programming note, we got Reds baseball coming up right after the program. actually a little after the program. 8 o'clock is a pregame tonight as they are up in Chicago.
Central time zone.
This assumes it's not raining up there, but either way, we'll take you over to the broadcast at 8 o'clock. We'll be back Wednesday, 6 o'clock. We got Reds all week, by the way. Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, 8 o'clock, and then again on Friday, 8 o'clock as they go to St. Louis. So it is a starting baseball season, but we're going to hold off on some of that for just a little while. Still talking IU basketball. Yogi Ferrell has announced that he will announce whether he will be going pro or not. He apparently has not made a decision, but will be making an announcement in just over a week and a half. So the 25th, which is Saturday up in Indianapolis.
The night before the day that you must have your decision made, according to those folks in the NBA.
Look, you said something right before the break that's important for fans to remember, and they will not. But we'll always remind them, because that's what we like to do here. And that is, it's really not about what we want from the standpoint of, gee, think of all the great things that they can accomplish as a team if he comes back. That is selfish of us as fans. I get it. But not all the kids are thinking that direction. Now, some do. Okay, great. I would argue this, though. I would argue that there is something to be gained by a successful season from the standpoint of a 5'10 point guard looking at his pro prospects. He has had improving numbers as far as assist to turnover ratios the last couple of years. They took the ball out of his hands a bit last year with a big guy inside and a taller lineup. I think he gets a lot more options to show that he can share the ball, because who in the NBA wants to find a 5'10 guy that puts up the ball as much as Chris Paul and Russell Westbrook?
Well, Yogi's,
and he's shown he can score.
Second or third in the league in assists last year. He's already showed he could dish. Yeah. His assist to turnover ratio was 4-1. You've made the argument why he should leave. He's going to be surrounded by more talent. The NBA doesn't care how a team player you are.
But do they care if he's not, if his scoring hurts because he's dishing the ball off more?
A year.
Would they care about that?
A year where his numbers from afar don't look as good and his team is a lot better, marginally better, the same.
Well, pro scouts aren't going to look from afar.
They're not.
I mean, they're going to dig into him like everything.
The point is, in the joke we always made and always will make, do you get better 20 hours a week, or do you get better doing it as a pro, as many hours a day as you need, working with the best people on the planet? No offense to anybody at IU. The NCAA only lets you practice 20 hours a week. You can only do X amount of workouts. You can only use the people on your staff to do those workouts. That's what it is. Or do you go and go 9 to 10 hours a day for the rest of your life to try to get to that next level, to try to get that contract? It's an interesting, interesting angle.
333-2665 is our phone number. Let's bring in John. How you doing, John?
Hey, guys. How's it going?
Good. How are you, buddy?
I'm doing good. Listen, I'll add two things. I don't have any special insight to what Yogi's going to do. I know his dad, but I only saw him, like I told Glass, I only saw him once this year at the games. But it seems to me it's pretty obvious that you don't have to make an announcement to make an announcement unless you're actually going. All you have to do is do what Troy Williams did and say, I'm staying, and that basically covers it. That's what the two Wichita State guys did today. And the other thing is that if he was going to stay, he would have probably been down in Louisville with the other guys watching Thomas Bryant and the other guys play on Saturday night.
Leading the team in off-season activities,
exactly,
perhaps?
Exactly. As a senior and the most experienced player, wouldn't you think that would be a good idea?
Well, and the other part about that is you got the commitment, and then now you have the decision after the commitment. And again, if his mom says, look, we're just trying to look at all of our angles and all of that, I get all that. That's fine and dandy, but if it was really about, and I'm like you, I'm just extrapolating from the little facts and nuggets I get here and there, the day that they get to commit from the McDonald's five-star was the day that should have either made up your mind one way or the other.
I would think so, and the fact that it isn't, I mean, what you just said, Glass, about the 20 hours a week versus getting it 10 hours a day, that works both ways. I mean, Daniel Orton of Kentucky left after in Calipari's first class. He was one of the five draft picks,
right,
of the greatest day in Kentucky basketball history. Remember that? And that made a lot of people mad, and justifiably so, because it wasn't the greatest day in their history. But he's out of the league now. He got cut from a team in the Philippines because he said something bad about Manny Pacquiao, who's a player coach over there, like that.
From what I've read about Daniel Orton, Kentucky couldn't wait for him to declare to go pro.
Yes, I know, but there was no way in the world he was ready to go. And
that's
he had
not
played since he was a junior in high school. He got hurt his senior year.
Right.
He needed to play. Some guys need to practice in college and get in game and actually get some game time in. And so it works both ways. I'm not criticizing Yogi.
I don't know what more Yogi can show. He plays 39 and a half minutes a game. He has for the last 3 years. I'm not sure what else at this level is being asked of him from a professional scouting standpoint. He has been on really good teams his freshman year. He's been on a team that struggled 2 years ago, and he had to carry a team essentially for most of the season in late in the games on his own shoulders this year. I'm not sure, John, what's left to prove if the end game is playing professional basketball.
Well, it is. I know it is. I know for a fact it is for him. And you know, the thing I would say is, hey, if you're 5'10", and he is 5'10", he's not 6 foot, you better be able to play some defense at the NBA level. And the guy that he compares to, I think of a lot, is Damian Lillard. He doesn't jump as well as
Lillard. He's not a good enough shooter.
Huh?
He can't shoot that well.
I don't know.
Not as good as Lillard.
Lillard wasn't that good a shooter when he was a junior, a sophomore and junior at Weber State. He just got a whole lot better his senior year.
Well, all right. I can see that developing. But again, to extrapolate that, just because you stay in college 1 year longer means
True.
You're going to get exponentially better. We've seen guys that should have left after their sophomore year stay till their senior year, and they're called Tyler Hansbrough.
Well, Let's look at the other side here, too. If he can't gain any more skill-wise, from getting any better, is there any reason he wouldn't want to go out in a blaze of glory with a team that's got a better lineup than the last 2 years?
I think he could get better skill-wise with higher-level education on a basketball court. And
well,
it's not
sure.
a knock on what's
no,
going
sure.
on here, but when you play for ex-NBA guys at that level and they train you 5, 6, 7, or whatever it is a day, I think you learn better. And, John, you play against better competition every day. It's not a knock on what's going on at Indiana, but he had no one pushing him last year. And this year he's got a bunch of 17, 18-year-old kids next to him. He really hasn't had to, I don't want to say fight for his job, but he hasn't had to fight for his job.
Well, I mean, the thing is, A, can he? You think that he translates into actually getting drafted on an NBA board? I mean, last time I looked, it's been like 2 weeks ago, he wasn't on any draft boards.
They're rumoring maybe second round, maybe undrafted completely. I think it goes either way.
And the other thing is, you don't want to be a second round draft pick, John.
That's not guaranteed money.
That's not guaranteed money. If you make a team.
And somebody posted earlier, Gary Parrish did a comparison where 75 or 80% of second round picks the last several years have gotten guaranteed picks, not because they had to get them, because they don't, because the NBA doesn't force that, but the clubs have given it to them. Think of Lance Stevenson, who got guaranteed money by Larry Bird.
That's the point. The point is
you can't get it.
But you don't have to get it. The NBA can say you're slotted into
it's
this
not automatic.
Slot. You get this. And the other thing that I brought up a little earlier, John, I didn't know if you caught it, was China, Japan, Germany,
right.
Spain, France.
Yeah, Greece.
There's a lot of places that play really – ask Fidel Jones how much
Spain.
Money.
Derek Elston. Money. And
Spain's warm.
Right. Jordan Hall's. I mean, they're all making
– Spain's warm. They take naps every
You know how I know they're making good enough money over there? They ain't coming back.
They don't come back. Exactly.
Nobody's hanging out in wherever Hull's hung out in Poland, then moved to Bosnia because they're paying you in a sack of doorknobs and a goat at the end of the week. That's not
right.
what's happening there. There's some good money there. So
it's a big goat,
for
though.
Us to think, well, if Yogi's – and here's the other bad fandom to this is, well, if Yogi's not going to get drafted, why wouldn't you stay
why
with
wouldn't
us?
You come back?
Well, because the things I listed out earlier. Maybe
there's
he's just done with it.
Elsewhere.
Maybe he wants to get paid like a lot of these guys and a lot of his buddies
John,
have gotten paid.
John, I'll ask you this question. 4 years ago, you talked to us and you said Yogi Ferrell was the ultimate team player. We would make everybody around him better. Is he making a decision for himself now as opposed to
well,
for a team?
I have no problem with it. Look, I mean, everybody, including people who listen to the show, know that fans look at it a different way. We want everybody on the team to care as much as we care. Yeah,
absolutely.
And even I, mean, I go back to Chris. Remember Chris Marcus, the guy from Western Kentucky that was a 7-footer that could have gone pro and had been a lottery pick after his junior year?
Yes.
He got hurt, blew out his knee. He never got drafted, never played in the NBA. Now he's out in the real world with the real. Fortunately, he got a degree and he got a real job.
Yeah.
But nobody at Western Kentucky is going to pick up the tab for him for the rest of his life. So I don't blame guys for going.
Sure.
It's just that with Yogi, I know the NBA is the end all be all for him, not overseas, someplace else.
Yeah, and he's allowed to make a selfish decision,
exactly.
And I don't mean to make it sound badly, but it was interesting to me because he had been brought in again as that distributor, as the guy
Indiana
that got everybody
University,
else better.
The NCAA have made plenty of money off Yogi Ferrell. If he decides
absolutely.
To choose
absolutely.
To cash in his chips, there are going to be some butthurt fans, and that's fine. I get that. But that's part of the game. You can't have it both ways. You can't have your head coach getting paid $3.7 million and these guys getting bagels and cream cheese. And yes, I understand about the free books. Yes, I understand about the free mm-hmm. tuition. You know who else gets that? 9.9 guys in soccer, 9.9 guys in baseball. It's not like basketball is the only team that gets any of this. And after a while, John, you brought up the point about about having teammates and making everybody better and the such. And Yogi had a lot of assists last year that weren't counted as assists because the guys missed wide open shots.
Exactly.
Sure.
He's demonstrated he can move the ball.
He's been in the spotlight ever since he was 5 or 6 years old as a player. He was a prodigy. He was considered Clark Francis. I don't know why he did this, but put him as the last player like at 7 or 8 years old.
Yeah, fifth
grade. He's always been there. And most of those guys, you never hear about him by the time they get in high school, much less in the college. And he is still a viable player. So good for him. Whatever he does, I'll support him. I just think it's interesting. Why would you have an announcement to have an announcement unless you're actually going to go?
John, before we let you go, because we've got to hit a break here in a second, we'll give you the first crack at this. We're assuming tonight he's going. What does next year's team look like without him?
Very, very good. If they can play defense, I'd say they could probably win the Big Ten, but I don't think they can play any defense. So until somebody gets over there that can teach these guys how to stop somebody, get in front of somebody, use your athleticism, crying out loud, I just think they'll be better than this year. But, I mean, Robert Johnson is going to be a really good player, I think. He got hurt the last part of the year. I don't think he'll take over at the point. But you've got to, guys, you know, you at some point, I mean, yeah, it's great to score, but you got to stop people sometimes. Look at Duke, what they did in the last 5 minutes against Wisconsin.
Yep.
Cost me a bunch of money.
That makes two of us.
But other than that, hey, John, thanks for the phone call.
Good job, John.
We appreciate
it
as always. Great stuff. From our buddy John. So, Yogi's got the 25th of April, a week from this coming Saturday, almost 2 weeks, to make up a decision. Apparently he hasn't yet. We'll talk a little bit about what we think next year looks like when we get back from the break. 333-2665 is the phone number. Dave and Glass with you in the zone. All right, you're back in the zone with Dave and Glass on News Talk 96.1 and AM 1370 WGCL.
Williams Brothers Healthcare Pharmacy is a family-owned business offering personalized expert advice on a wide range of pharmacy services. 574 Landmark Avenue, Williams Brothers, committed to creating customers for life.
Quick programming notes. We got Reds baseball much of this week. Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, 8 o'clock each night pregame as they are in Chicago to play the Cubs. And then Friday, they're at St. Louis, 8 o'clock pregame for that also. Tomorrow night, 6 o'clock, live from Yogi's at the corner of 10th and Indiana, we've got Joe Smith Sports Talk, and he will have behind the scenes at IU Athletics with IU Athletics Director Fred Glass. He'll also have Amanda Janney, an IU field hockey player, joining Joe tomorrow night. And of course, we'll be back Wednesday at 6 o'clock. 333-2665 is the phone number. Yogi Ferrell has announced that he set a date for an announcement to decide the decision he hasn't yet decided. Follow all that?
I'll decide if I follow it or not.
Well, April 25th, Saturday, at a steakhouse at the north end of Indianapolis, he apparently will announce his decision to leave Indiana or to stay at Indiana. And look, we're making the argument here either way, but I think strongly that there's not much more to play for at Indiana unless you're a huge Indiana fan and you want him back so he can lead your team. That's obvious. We all want a stud point guard senior to come back and lead this team, but may not happen. So if it does not happen, what do you think about next year's team, assuming, of course, Thomas Bryant does manage to get onto campus with the opening that Yogi would leave?
Your seniors are Hannah Perea and Nick Zeisloft.
Yes.
That's what they are. That's your leadership?
Yep.
That's your leadership. Maybe Robert Johnson takes a greater role in that. Robert Johnson will be handling the ball a lot. And, again, we saw how much pressure was absorbed by Yogi these last 3 years, and to have him back for a fourth year would give Johnson one more year to settle into that role of having to absorb the basketball, dribble, 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 as Indiana likes to do on offense. But if it's not the case, what do you do, Dave? You don't cancel the season. You move on. And Troy Williams will have to handle the ball more. So will James Blackman Jr. But Robert Johnson slides right in. And I think that's why you recruited him. You brought him in to replace Yogi eventually, whether it was 1 year in, 2 years in. Sure, it doesn't. At this day and age anymore, if you can tell me when a kid signs up his freshman year, you know exactly how long he's going to be at college, I would be willing to bet you on any one of these, and I probably would get just as many right as you will get wrong.
They're all over the map, aren't they?
And it doesn't matter because you don't know how quickly guys develop. You don't know what kind of support staff is around them, telling them what they should or shouldn't do. And whether it's right or wrong, it doesn't matter. It happens. I'm a fan of IU basketball. I don't have Orlando Magic season tickets. I don't have Charlotte Bobcats season tickets. I'm an IU basketball fan. I was not a Detroit Pistons fan when Isaiah Thomas went to the Pistons. Mm-hmm. I'm with you. I'm looking at what's going on here right at 17th Street. And right now it would be Robert Johnson's team in the backcourt. James Blackman slides in at the two.
Would you look at a
– Troy Williams is at the three.
Would you look at a three-guard roster like we
just
have this
like
year?
Like they had, sure. Why wouldn't you? Because that's what Indiana plays at. And it would be nice just to have maybe 2 years of the same stuff. But that's not what really what Indiana's been. Indiana's been a hybrid of what they've had with their talent. If they've had to play some defense and rebound like they did when they went 17 and 15, they did that. You can look at their defensive numbers. They were completely night and day what they were this year.
Absolutely.
This year they made their focus on scoring because they thought that was the best way they were going to beat teams because they didn't have guys to rebound and didn't have guys to clog the lane and didn't have battles to get into where you could man up on guys and knowing get up in them on the perimeter and having that eraser in the back. Maybe you have that next year. I'm not sure Thomas Bryant is in the class of Noah Vonleh. Skill-wise, athletically, thickness, Noah Vonleh had a professional body.
Yeah, oh yeah.
When he walked in the door.
He put on some weight when he got here, but yeah,
they
absolutely.
All do. But he, but Noah Vonleh, again. So when you get into this apples and oranges part next year, hey, do freshmen play like freshmen? Do sophomores play worse than they did their freshman year and regress? These things have happened before. So you can look at who gets hurt, who doesn't get hurt, who gets in trouble, who doesn't get in trouble. All those things are all fluid. Every fan wants to look at this in a vacuum, and you just take Yogi out and insert this guy in or move this guy out and push this guy in and think all those other things are going to happen. Well, is Yogi a good locker room guy? Is are these three kids coming in good locker room kids? Mm-hmm. You recruit for different things. So I'm what are you going to do? You're going to work hard. You're going to play hard and you're going to figure it out. And until you hear that decision on the 25th, we could sit here and guess till the cows come home about what's going to happen or not going to happen. How do the freshmen adapt? How do the sophomores? Who's the leader on the team? There's a great question for next year. Who's the guy? Is it Hartman? Who's the guy that's leading workouts? Who's the guy going to the gym in the morning? Who's doing this? Is everybody staying? Remember, the semester's not over yet, Dave.
Mm-hmm.
Semester ends. And if you're not going pro.
And they're still recruiting kids.
Well, and they're still one over.
Yeah.
So there's some fluidity here. This is a moving situation. These are moving parts. So I don't think you can nail down on April, what is today, the 13th, and say, here's the starting five for next year, if or that. It's not that simple. Sorry, it doesn't work that way in college basketball anymore.
333-2665 is our phone number. Moving on to a different course, if you will, and a different venue altogether. This weekend was the first of the four majors in the world of golf, and certainly the most, at least you hear about it on TV, most tradition-laden. Now, you argue the Open Championship in England has been around a hell of a lot longer, and that is true, but the Masters
so
comes
the
around.
US Open?
The Masters comes around, and it's just something special about
Masters
Week.
Well, the
Masters,
reason the Masters is special, it's simple. It's the same course every year. So if you're 50 years old, you've been watching it for 40 years, and you know all the holes, and you know where the pins go on Sunday, and you know where the grass is and the pine straw in the first cut and the second cut, and it's comfortable. It's like an old friend that shows up once a year and drags you back into golf if you're not a golf fan. The U.S. Open bounces around to sites. The British Open bounces around to sites. Heck, the PGA plays at the newest places of them all. So it's hard to get into that stuff, and I think that's why the Masters is so powerful. Another reason it's powerful is you had a guy win at 46 years old. Jack Nicklaus did that. I mean, that was an amazing story. And you've had him win six times. And Tiger Woods won there when he was 21. And the club didn't have African-American members. And you've seen all this history go on. It's kind of like a microcosm of our country, sadly, to a degree. But I think that's why it's captivating. And remember, it is just golf. But it was a pretty good 79th edition of it over the weekend as 21-year-old Jordan Spieth is your new champion in record-tying fashion and setting some records along the way.
Certainly not surprising that he would come through here eventually with a major, and I don't know if you can say the Masters is suited for him more than other courses.
It is.
I don't know that. But,
it is.
But the bottom line is he's been playing some great golf in the last year and a half, and at that age in particular, he's had one or two stumbles here and there with his lack of experience. But what he's done, it seems as though he has turned that completely on its head, and I think everybody seems to have these experiences where things go wrong for them a little bit early on. Some of them don't recover from them. Some of them continue to have that. But in Jordan Spieth's case, he turned it right around. He was in the final group last year and didn't have a great final round. But
he led by two shots on the 8th tee last year.
All he knows at this point in time on a Sunday is playing in the final round of the Masters.
Yep, tee second his first time and win in his second time. He's the only, one of four players to win the second time teeing it up there. He's 21 years of age. He'll be 22 in late July. And he is the fourth player in history to win three times on tour, one of those being a major since 1900. He's one of three players to win three times on tour before the age of 22, the other two being Garcia and Woods. So he's in some pretty deep company. And for those people who have followed the game over the last 10 years or so, back when Spieth was in junior golf and whatever, this is not tremendously surprising. He has been very good for a very long time. He was very solid in college. His first
Speaking of one and doners, his one year at Texas, right?
I can't remember if it was one or two.
I think it was one.
His first year on tour, he had no playing privileges, so he got his card by sponsor invites and hitting top tens. And then when you hit a top 10, you play the next event. And then he won an event later that year at the John Deere Classic when he was 19. So he's done this. He did not pop up on the scene and somebody went, well, where did you come from? Right. Well, who dropped you off at the front gate and how did you get in here? Jordan Spieth was number four in the world when he won yesterday. Mm-hmm. He's now number two. So
no,
remember,
he has been playing great.
The OWGR, the official world golf ranking, is a 2-year rotator that you play certain events. It takes off your last one, puts in your new one. So they just don't hand those numbers out because you got cool pants or a good sponsorship deal or whatever else. He's played on a Ryder Cup team, Dave. He's played on President's Cup team. Mm-hmm. He's 22. He's 21 years old. So this the surprise is always, when are you going to win the major? Because there's been some great players like we talked about last Wednesday. Lee Westwood hasn't. Sergio Garcia hasn't. Mm-hmm. They've done pretty well in the Ryder Cup. So is Ian Poulter. He's never won a major championship. Sergio Garcia at 19 was battling Tiger Woods at Medina in Chicago. Right. Hasn't won one yet. Spieth was T2nd last year, and people said, geez, well, are you going to Sergio him to death? Let him win one first.
There you go.
Well, here he is. And in record setting fashion.
Well, and let me ask you this too. He's doing it in, you know, not unusual in the game of golf, but certainly unusual in this day and age where everybody seems to be just absolutely crushing the ball off the tee, going and finding it and throwing it up on the green. His numbers off the tee and even getting to the green are not great by any stretch
no,
of the imagination.
I believe they're both in the hundreds.
But he's, you know, he's top 5 or 10 in just about every either putting or scrambling type statistic that you can have out there. And that's, I suppose, a good thing about the Augusta National is that there's some room out there to do some scrambling. And certainly if you're a good putter, you're going to benefit from the, because those greens are so crazy out there. But he's doing a little bit differently than I think you see in today's game, which is so much about technology and crushing the ball.
He's 63rd in driving distance.
It's not awful. No, it's not bad.
After last week at Augusta, he moved into the 80s for greens and regulation and driving accuracy. And the other part about why Augusta sets up well, Dave, is if you miss it, you're fine. Ask Tiger. Ask Phil. Why do they always play well there? They can spray it. There's no out of bounds.
There's a couple of creeks.
Yeah, but you can knock it everywhere. But what separates Jordan Spieth? He's his best putter on tour. That's not even close. He's fourth in strokes gained putting. Okay, there's three other guys statistically better than him. Guess who's number one in scoring average? He is. He's fifth in the all-around ranking. So what does that tell you? He does everything well. That's not surprising. But the Masters fits him the best because he's the best putter. The U.S. Open tests every facet of your game. The defense at the British Open is what? Tee times? Weather.
Yeah, weather.
That's what it is. The greens at the British Open are from here to the parking garage across the street. They're that big. They can be 75 yards
wide. Some of the
wide.
Masters ones are too.
And that's the point. So what happens if you hit greens? Well, you better be able to putt them.
That's exactly
the only
right.
defense at Augusta National is the greens and how fast they make them. You mm-hmm. can see by the undulation. You can see by the levels, the tiers, whatever you'd like to call them. If you don't put your ball on the right spot in those greens, it doesn't matter how mm-hmm. well you can putt. But if you don't put it on the right part, it does help when you're as good as Spieth because you never saw him two putting from 14 feet, 18 feet. No, he'd lag it up there tight.
Hitting, the big, hitting all those big ones he needed.
Putter. Yeah. The worst putty took the putter back on was the 70th stroke or 70 or 69th stroke on Sunday where he missed that 4-footer to set the tournament record. He even knew that one was in the bag and didn't care much about it. And if that's his worst putt in four rounds, he's a deserving champion.
Absolutely. We'll talk a little bit more Masters as someone in this booth actually went down for the tournament. We'll talk about that experience and how great it is down there at Augusta when we get back from the break. 333-2665 is the phone number. Dave and Glass with you in the zone. right, you're back in the zone with Dave and Glass on News Talk 96.1 and AM 1370 WGCL. Again, quick programming note, we got Reds baseball coming up at 8 o'clock here tonight on WGCL, so stick around. The Masters was this weekend. Jordan Spieth held the lead on the first day, but I'll tell you what, all weekend long, there was a phenomenal leaderboard as you saw some of the old guard popping back up in the form of Phil Mickelson and Ernie Els. You saw some of the young guard popping up in the form of Jason Day sticking around for a little while. Charlie Hoffman's been around for a while, but not played the Masters very often.
That's a little out of Charlie's league. No offense,
yeah, no,
Charlie.
It showed on the weekend, no question about it. Russell Henley was up there early. Sergio Garcia up there early. But some old names that maybe haven't done as much as you thought they would. Paul Casey. Justin Rose is a major champion now, and he played very well on the weekend also. But just a great leaderboard. Rory McIlroy had an amazing weekend also to get back in contention. Ian Poulter was great on the weekend. But again, the two big names in golf for years have been Phil Mickelson and Tiger Woods, and you got good play out of both. And, of course, surprising out of both, although particularly out of Tiger Woods, who's been hurt and off the tour for here a little while.
Yep, and Phil Mickelson's last top 10 was at the PGA, where he was second at Valhalla. Phil Mickelson and Justin Rose tied at 14 under par. That would have won 70 of the previous 78 Masters. That's what happened there. It was a great second flight. There was plenty of action in the B group, and that was because Jordan Spieth played so well. He never got himself in any real trouble. He had one double bogey, and after that he found a way out of trouble. He tried to get in more trouble, hit a fantastic flop shot to about 4 feet and made the putt on Saturday, which really kept his momentum going. But none of those guys knew they had to play perfect golf on Sunday to catch him, because if Spieth would have shot even par on the weekend, he would have needed just to shoot, what? He would have been 14
shot
under.
Even par, he would have been tied at 14.
He would have been tied. Yeah. So, but on that course is meant for scoring. And Jordan Spieth, his goal, we heard after the round on Sunday, was to go out and shoot 20 under. He wasn't going to namby-pamby this. He was going to go out and attack the golf course. Why? That's what Augusta National invites you to do. There are plenty of scoring opportunities if you put the ball in the proper position in the fairway and if you hit the proper position on the greens. And he did that. He came out and he birdied his first two holes, and away you go. And those guys behind him knew they had to play perfect, and it just wasn't going to happen. He's too good a player, and they don't hand out 62s and 63s on Sunday at Augusta. It doesn't happen that way. They're not going to set their course up to let that happen. And you could have started better, Rory McIlroy. You could have started better, Phil. You could have started. You can just keep pointing to the guys. They all had to play four rounds, Dave. Mm-hmm. There was no weather. There was no rain. There was no thunderstorms. There was no delays. There was no nothing. If anything, the course played soft.
Yeah.
It was attackable. Spieth 64 to open was the second lowest in history. He broke the 36-hole total. He broke the 54-hole total, and he was the only player ever in the history of the 78 tournaments, this was the 79th, to ever reach 19 under par. So it wasn't fluked by any way, shape, or means, and the kid is just cool. Nothing bothers him. Nothing bothered him on the practice green. Nothing bothered him on the chipping green. Nothing bothered him hitting balls. He didn't even get bothered when he missed putts. Heck, I saw his two worst putts of the week before the one on 18. I saw him miss a 7-footer on 7, where he's got to hit a wedge 102 yards over a trap to a peninsula green. It's about, 12 paces deep. It's a nod on the back. And he stuffs it right in there where you got to hit it. And the putt, he swore it broke one way. It broke the other way. He's only played there one other time.
Right.
And then he missed another 6-7-footer on 9 two holes later, where he makes both of those. And he's 14 at that time. Go into the back nine. Yeah. So he still recovered and finished 14 on the day.
Look, I know he still had all of Sunday yet to come.
He missed all those putts.
I think he showed you everything you wanted to know heading into Sunday on Saturday on the 18th. You mentioned he comes off a double bogey, his worst hole of the week, on the 17th, and then turns around and puts that horrible shot over the green, which is all downhill from there, with a bunker teasing you a little bit there too, and a sprinkler head trying to come down from there. Hits a flop shot about 20 feet in the air that lands absolutely perfectly and gives him a good shot at a 10-footer to save the par on 18, which is exactly what he does.
Man,
I mean, those two shots right there take a tremendous amount of nerve right after you're coming off.
That's what he said. He said, last year I would have hit a bump and run. This year I'm hitting a flop shot because I have confidence in doing it. Spieth led the tournament birdies on the par threes and the par fives, and if you do that at Augusta, you're going to win a lot more than you're going to lose. He was third in putting behind Stricker and Dustin Johnson, and you just keep adding them up. You keep checking off the boxes and checking off the boxes. And when you don't make any of those mistakes, you're going to win golf tournaments. And that's four worldwide, Dave, in his last 11 starts. The one thing you could knock him going into the weekend or going into Sunday, he was 0-4 in tour events, with a 54-hole lead, and he just lost the week before at the Shell Houston to Johnson Wagner and J.B. Holmes. Not exactly Phil Mickelson and Justin Rose. His lead wasn't as big at that time, but he'd never closed the deal on tour doing that. Now he came from behind in Australia, or he led at the Hero World Challenge where he won by 10 shots. Not an official event. I get all that. But to see him grow up almost instantly in that pressure cooker environment, he took the pressure cooker out by the way he played.
Yeah.
It wasn't.
He never
like
let anybody back
Phil
in.
Phil didn't hit the grandstand. The ball ricochets into the woods for a double, triple bogey.
Right,
he put them out of their misery. And he was a fantastic player.
A couple years ago, you and I went down to a practice round on a Monday.
Yes.
You got to go to Friday, which is an official round, of course,
tournament
this time.
Play.
Biggest difference, biggest impression about a tournament day down at Augusta? Because, I mean, everything about the place is great.
The shots count. Everybody's into the shot. Monday feels more like a hit and giggle. You know, guys are dropping six balls on the green, putting from that angle.
Poulter was making jokes when we were down
there.
Sure,
yeah. How much you want to guys want to bet on the side and do all that? Guys chip from everywhere. It just doesn't feel – you feel like you're watching it, but it doesn't count. And it doesn't. Not in a practice round, but on Friday it counts. There's not a peep in the crowd when Spieth or Woods or McIlroy's over their ball when it goes in, or you hit a great shot. The roars, they're not kidding about that. Those roars are absolutely fantastic. But that's the biggest difference. Because during the practice rounds, people are scattered. During the tournament rounds, you got the chairs set up, you have the galleries formed, and there's no question which hole Woods, Mickelson, or Spieth was on because people were 20, 25 deep around each hole.
And if you got $10 in your pocket, how much food are you able to get out of that?
You can get $1.50 egg salad sandwich, $1.50 pimento and cheese, $2.50 turkey and cheese, $2.50 ham and cheese, $2.50 Master's Club, $3 chicken wrap or traditional grilled chicken sandwich, or this year, the barbecue sandwich they've added as well. So a little bit different. Beers were $4 or $5, your choice. So for if you didn't, iced tea is $1.50. So if you really wanted to get after it, you could pick out for $20 there. Just don't go to the pro shop because nothing's under
$20. No, the pro shop's a little crazy, but you understand that. But the rest of the experience is pretty amazing.
Up close, seeing how quick and undulating those greens are, seeing how wonderfully cool these guys swing. Nobody shanks the ball from that. All the grass is about an inch and 3/8. There's no rough. Guys hit pure shots all day long.
Yeah. Hey, folks, music means we got to head on out of here. We'll be back Wednesday. Joe Smith Sports Talk live from Yogi's tomorrow night, 6 o'clock. And stay tuned. We have Reds baseball coming up at 8, so don't go anywhere. You've been in the zone.